Where we've been studying at? Acts. We're not this morning. This message has been burning in me for quite some time, actually, before starting that study in the book of Acts, and God laid it on my heart to share it with you. If you want to find the main scriptures this morning, it'll be in Luke chapter 11, Matthew chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 6. If you'll put a thumb, well, you don't have three thumbs, do you? If you'll put a thumb in each one of them, you can. That'll be the main meat of the message here this morning. I think it's some scriptures that will apply to each and every one of us in our lives and our families and in our Christian walk. The message this morning would be entitled Protect the Home. Luke chapter 11. Verse 21-22. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. Now there's also some passages of scripture in Matthew that goes with this, and just to give you the setting here of what happened, that Jesus had been casting out devils, and the Pharisees, they seen this. The Pharisees were some religious people that constantly fought against Christ and was constantly butting heads with them, and they seen this, and they were saying that Jesus was casting out these devils by the power of the devil, and Jesus responds to that in Matthew chapter 12. I want to use that text to share this kind of the setting there with you. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 25. Through 29, Jesus is going to answer them. Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And verse 28, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Jesus answered them. Basically, he's saying that a house divided against itself cannot stand. There's something that's going to take place. There's going to be difficulty. There is going to be divorce. There's going to be chaos and confusion. A house divided against itself cannot stand. If there's any major division in this house, in this family, it's going to destroy the family. You know, and that's exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy is what the scriptures say, right? That's his main objective. And you can see it today in him attacking homes. And not just homes, but Christian homes. And in so doing, he's also attacking the body of Christ, the church. Well, if he's attacking our homes, and that's what we are. We're made up of families. We are a body of Christ made up of families. So he's doing it not only to destroy the family unit, but also to try to destroy the church, to try to tear it down. Something is going to give. When there comes division in a home, something is going to give. Now, how does the enemy gain access? In Matthew chapter 12, verse 29. I want to look at that one more time. He says, or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? What is the strong man doing? The strong man is protecting. It says, the stronger than he comes and he spoils his goods. And he does that by binding them or overcoming. In other words, he has to weaken the head of the household, the spiritual leader of the home. Are you with me? Now, does that have to be a man? No. Because there's men in homes today that are not the spiritual leaders of their house the way they should be. So it could be a woman there. There's lots of times that you women are called to do a job. You have to step up and be the spiritual leader of the house. So this scripture is talking about the spiritual leader. It does not necessarily have to be a man. It can also be a woman. Because there are women in this world today that have to be the spiritual leaders of the house. If the man's not going to do it, they need to step up and do it. You know, when it refers to a house, we could look at it like our physical homes that we live in, our dwelling places that we actually live in. When we talk about house, we could be our body here that we have. Could also be the body of Christ, the temple of God, the house of God, the church, the body of Christ. Say, Brother Dennis, are you saying that this stronger man, this devil, this spirit can come in and take you over? No, I'm not saying that. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If you got the Spirit of Jesus Christ within you, you have got the strength there. But there's also a spirit that can come upon in our family lives and attack our families to try to kill, steal, and destroy. You hear me? I'm not saying he's going to come in and possess you. I want to make that very clear. But he's going to come in. He's going to try to tear down that family unit as a whole. And so doing, there's going to cause division. It's going to cause strife. And there's going to be great difficulty. So what does he have to do to bind him or to overcome him? Look back in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Verse 22. When a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him what? All his armor. You know, I've read this and I never really caught that. That really jumped out at me when I was studying this, the word all. He's got to take all your armor. So how does he overcome him? He's got to take all the armor. He can't just take part of it. He's got to take all of it. So what do we do to protect, to keep, to preserve our goods? And you stop and think about it. What are our goods? You know, first thing I think about is my spouse and my kids, you know. But they're special to you, are they not? That's the first thing I thought of. But so what do we do to protect them? Every Christian here this morning should know what you need to do to protect your family, to protect yourself, and has put on the whole armor of God. And that's where we're going to. It's in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, He's talking to Christians. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the what? The whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." You know, I read that and I thought, you know, I think I kind of know what that means. We got to looking at that word wiles. What does it mean? I believe some interprets it as schemes or cunning devices or traps that the devil has laid out there, laying in wait for you. It says that you be able to stand against the traps of the devil, the schemes of the devil, those cunning devices that he has laid out there for you as a Christian. Remember, it's talking to brethren. It says, "Finally, my brethren." So what is the armor of God? Verse 12 through 17 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the," what? "Whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Verse 15, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." So let's go through it real quickly. What is the armor? It's the helmet of salvation. It has to do with your mind, and that's in verse 17. It's knowing who you are in Jesus. Amen. Because see, with the mind, you have guilt and condemnation coming, and when you have freedom in Christ, knowing that what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, you are free from that guilt and condemnation. So it has to do with the mind, the protection of the mind, knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. The next one is the breastplate of righteousness. It protects your heart. Verse 14, and also in that same verse, is the belt of truth. The belt of truth. You have that breastplate of righteousness. You've got your mind clear. Your mind is protected. You've got your heart protected. And you have the belt of truth. The next one is your feet shod. In other words, you need to have your shoes on. You need to be able to stand firm when the ground gets slippery. When the battle is being raged, you need to be able to get a toehold and hang on. The fourth one is the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? It's the Word of God. That's in verse 17. Do you realize that sword, that Word of God, is both an offense and a defense? Do you realize that? I think so many times we just get thinking about it as a defense, but it is also an offensive weapon. It's a two-edged. Think about this. The two edges that are on that sword that it talks about, one edge was put there when God spoke it, and another edge is put on it when you speak what God said. Amen? The Word of God is power. It's offense and it is defense. Look what it says in verse 16. "Above all, take the shield of faith." I believe some version says, "In all circumstances, take the shield of faith." That's what we do. We step out in faith. That's how you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You step out in faith. You got to apply that faith to all circumstances in your life. To put out the what? Fiery darts of the devil. The scripture reads there Be strong. Be strong in what? In the Lord. And in the power. It's His power. His might. And verse 13, it says, after you've done all that, after you've put on the whole armor of God, what does it tell you to do? Stand. What does it tell you to do after that? Stand. Keep standing. Keep standing. You've got your mind guarded. You've got your heart protected. You've got your shoes on so you won't slip. You're full of the Word of God. And you know, I believe that's what's wrong with a lot of us Christians today, that we are not full of the Word of God. We come in here and we get a little dab on Sunday morning, and then that's all we have. We need to be full of the Word of God. That Spirit, that Word of God, that sword that has two edges on it, we need to be able to apply that second edge to it. Amen? He says, when a stronger than he comes, how much armor does he have to take? He has to take all of it. How do we apply that armor? Did you ever stop and think about that? How do we apply it? We apply it the same way that we apply the blood of Jesus Christ, by faith. By confessing and believing in it and walking in it. These goods that he wants to take, these spoils that are in the house, he wants to kill and steal and destroy. And Jesus said that a house divided against itself will not stand. That enemy is going to come in. There's going to be hurt. There's going to be divorce. You may be sitting there thinking, well, my marriage is cool. We got everything under control. But tell you something, if you ain't got the whole armor of God applied to your marriage, you better be careful. Because the days are evil that we are in. And you better be ready to stand. And the only way you're going to be able to stand is in the power and the Spirit of God in your life. Amen? So who is hurt the most when it comes to division in a family? Children. You know, when it talks about goods, that's what I think about is my children. They're special to you. You know, when it comes to division in the home, if the enemy, if he can't divide you and your spouse, if he can't cause divorce, if he can't drive a wedge into you there spiritually between you and your spouse, what's the next thing he's going to go after? Children. Your goods. You know, and when you see a child being destroyed, when you see someone that's a child that's suffering and they're hurting, and you realize that that they're being attacked, you know, that's something that you can't get off your mind. It's going to consume your every thought, every day of your life, because that's all you can think about is your child and what's going on with them, and it's going to become such a distraction to you. That enemy is trying to tear you down. It's trying to break down that strength and that authority in that house as a spiritual leader. You know, I thought about this. You know, when I graduated in high school in 1978, there were two kids in my class that came from a broken home. My son just turned 30 years old. When he graduated, that's sad. I can't remember what year he graduated in. That's why I'm getting old. When he graduated, you know, it was right the opposite. had the same amount of kids in each class. I think there was like 28 or so, I believe, in each class. And it was right the opposite. There was two kids in my class that had divorced parents. And when my son graduated, it was right the opposite. There was only two of them that their parents had not been divorced. You know, you see so much of that spirit of rebellion today in young people. Where does that spirit of rebellion come from? Did you ever think about that? I mean, I know we all went through that stage. You know, I went through 20 years of it. Rebellion against God. But you see it so much more in young people today. Where does that come from? What? No stability. Their homes have been attacked. There's been division in their home. Look what Proverbs 17:11 says. Proverbs 17, verse 11. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. Look what the last part of that verse says. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. I believe that spirit of rebellion in our young people today comes from a spirit of rejection. Of the rejection that has happened in their family and their lives caused from division in the family unit. You know, there are Christian people today but they don't think it's anything wrong with hanging around and spending a lot of time with unbelievers. The Word of God gives us some warning about that. You say, Brother Dennis, how do we not spend any time with them and witness to them? I'm talking about spending quality time. I'm talking about spending your every day with them. When you start spending your quality time and start spending a lot of time with unbelievers, you're going to get used to the darkness. And there's so many times in our Christian walk and in the body of Christ today that instead of comparing our lives and our Christian walk with the Word of God, what are we comparing it with? We're comparing it with the world or the way somebody else is living. And what happens? We get used to it. We get used to it. You know, there's so many times in our lives that we become blinded that we can't even see our own problems. You know, I was that way one time. I had become so blinded by the world and the things of the world and the devil that I couldn't see my own problems. I thought all these problems that I was having was caused by something else. But that's a good thing about the gospel and that power of the Spirit of God and about that sword, that when that Spirit, when that light shines in, it wakes you up and it makes you see that you are the one that has the problem. And you know what I did when I seen that? I fell on my knees and I confessed before the Father. You know what He did? He forgave me. He accepted me. In fact, He had already accepted me because He accepted me when He died on the cross for my sins. Amen? Spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness. It's not only in your mind, it's in your heart. You can't see. You can't see your problems. What does the Bible say about mixing light and dark? Let's look real quickly in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Young people, if you're looking for a spouse, if you're looking for someone to even date, you need to apply this scripture to your life. I don't care how old you are. You need to apply this scripture to your life. You need to apply all the scriptures to your life. But this is so very important in a relationship, and when you're talking about division, because it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion have light with darkness?" Now look what verse 17 says. "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Come out from among them. Yes, we have to witness to them. Yes, we're to go out into the world, but don't get hooked up. Don't get yoked with them. Light and darkness, they don't mix. They do not mix. And you know, that's what happens with so many times in Christian people's lives. And that's what happened to me. I started trying to mix the light with the darkness. It won't work. The Bible says it will not work. People today, try to say it's okay. Christian people, what happens? All of a sudden you have pornography coming into your home through the internet. Maybe on your computer there at work. All of a sudden you're starting to let darkness in your Christian walk. All of a sudden you're taking a little bit of alcohol to remedy a cold. All of a sudden you're starting to let a little bit of darkness in. All of a sudden you're taking medications for depression, for anxiety, for pain medication, for this, for that. And then all of a sudden you're letting the darkness in. You realize that there are people today, Christian people, who truly, truly love the Lord, but they are letting darkness into their lives. They're medicating themselves. And what happens? That enemy gets in. Start causes division. Not only in their lives, between their relationship with the Lord, but in the family itself. You know, as I looked and studied this, and think about other generations. You know, it tells us in the book of Hebrews that these stories in the Bible and what happened to people were there for examples to us. You know, and I think each one of us here this morning has people in our lives, in our families, in former generations that we can think back that were examples to us. Christian, godly, God-fearing people. Think about it. I want to let's look at a few of them. What was the first one that would stand out in their walk, in their life? It was that Christ was their first love. It's that first love that it talks about in the book of Revelation. They were a generation that took it Matthew 6:33 to heart. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." They grasped hold of that. They had a hold of it. They were concerned in their Christian life of what did God think. Is this darkness? Is this light? What does God think about it? And in their lives, it was about Jesus. It was about a relationship. Because that's what Christianity is. It's not about going to heaven or about going to hell. Heaven is a benefit, praise the Lord. But I thank God this morning that in Christ Jesus, you can walk in the Spirit of God today and live a fulfilling life in Christ. Amen. The joy that you can experience. That's what the older generations had. What was another one that they clung to? It was the body of Christ. I'm not saying this church building. I'm saying the body of Christ. The body of Christ helped in their fulfillment in their relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Church was important to them. How about another thing that came to my mind that the older generation did? About revivals and special meetings. How many revivals do you see going on today, special meetings? And I say special meetings, I'm talking about like prayer meetings in homes, prayer Bible studies. How many showed up when we had ours? Stepping on your toes. It's not me, it's the Word of God. What's Psalms 84:10? I'm about ready to close. Psalms 84:10. What does it say? For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. That older generation, church was important to them. The body of Christ was important to them. I think another thing that is a generation today that we've lost, we don't know how to endure persecution with joy. We don't know how to do that. You have basically what we have today around here anyway, the only thing that we have is verbal persecution. Somebody's going to say something. They're going to make fun of you at school. They're going to talk about you. And I can even remember this when I was a young child in school. As somebody making fun of you, and we do not know how to stand up to that persecution and do it with joy in our hearts. Look what Luke chapter 6. 22 and 23. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sakes. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Young people, when people at school, when kids at school get to making fun of you, get to persecuting you for what you stand for and what you believe in, leap for joy. You can either make a joke about it and turn and walk away, or you can walk away thanking God that you have just received a reward in heaven for being persecuted for the Word's sake. We don't know how to handle persecution. Look at 2 Timothy 3:12. Tells us, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If we're living godly lives, Scripture tells us that we are going to suffer persecution, and we're going to suffer for His name's sake. What's another thing I believe they did? I believe past generations, they prayed for their children and they prayed out loud. Their children heard them praying out loud. heard them calling them by their name, hearing them praying to God Almighty, praying for that child. You know, there's nothing more powerful, I believe, than the prayer of a mother. And a mother that loves that child like us men can't understand, and praying for that child. I want to point out something. When you look and study this of prayers of mothers in the Bible, there was not one of them that didn't go unanswered. You realize that? I think another thing that the generation did before us is that they lived what they preached. They didn't just come to church and put God in a box here in this building and then go back out and live the kind of life they wanted to live. They took Jesus home with them. They didn't fight on the way home. They had integrity in their lives. You know, I know my sisters can remember this. I can remember as a family getting up and going to church, and there was five kids and mom and dad. That makes seven. We rode in the front of a 65 GMC pickup with no air conditioner. Stop and think about that. And we didn't fight. Didn't have room to fight. But you stop. I was thinking about that the other day. If that happened in a family unit today, how far down the road would you get before there would be a fight breakout? I mean, they lived what they preached. They took Jesus home with them. And we wonder why our kids are messed up in the head. We come in here and go to church and we worship and we raise our hands and praise the Lord, and then we have a fight all the way home. They lived what they preached. They stood on the Word of God, and they were filled with the Spirit of God. And those kids could see it. Amen? I'm about to get excited. This scripture has been burning in me for quite some time. You know, but and God just kept like pulling the reins back and said, nope, keep on an axe. No, keep on an axe. And to me, this right here goes right with what we've been preaching in the book of Acts. Amen? Because in the book of Acts, they were united in one accord, and they were one accord in prayer. And that's what we need to be doing for our families. We talked about that last week, that families of this body of Christ should be meeting and praying for each other, for our children. So this all goes together. I challenge you today. The Word of God challenges you to put on the whole armor of God. There are going to be times in your life that you're not going to be able to keep it all on all the time. You understand that? You're sitting there thinking, well, I can keep it on all the time. No, you can't. You need to get on your knees and have an attitude adjustment in your heart, because you're not going to be able to keep it on all the time. But he's got to take all of it. He's got to take all of it before he can get to you and before he can get to your family. Amen?